good morning. It's a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. My sincerest desire is for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I'm Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission is the longest-running, single-hosted and produced, spiritually-based radio internet talk show in America. It has been continuously running for over 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30-plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and then acting on it. Today, the conventional set of rules for being a man, what our guest today has called confined masculinity, is outdated and unhealthy. It traps men in an emotional straitjacket. It steers them toward isolation, selfishness, sexism, and sometimes violence. It deadens their souls. As an antidote, our guest today proposes a new paradigm, liberating masculinity. It builds on the traditional masculine roles, like protector and provider, expanding men's options to include caring, collaboration, emotional expressivity, and inclusive spirit and environmental stewardship. Through compassion, connection, and the rest of the author's five C's, men will find greater freedom, love, success, and soulfulness at home, at work, and in the world. Our guest today is Ed Frauenheim. He is Senior Director of Content at Great Place to Work, the research organization behind the Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For. Ed, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks very much. Great to be here, Reverend Henderson.
So this book was co-authored with Edward Adams. How did it come about that the two of you wrote this book?
It was a fortuitous connection, Reverend Henderson. I had been studying workplace culture issues and had been noticing in recent years the way in which men to succeed at work really have to show up in some different ways than we were often taught. What you described as that confined style of masculinity, where men have not been very emotionally available, where they've been kind of taught to sort of be the barking boss rather than the more empathetic leader, the humble servant leader. And at the same time, I've been studying or observing masculinity matters at work. My co-author, Ed Adams, had been really studying masculinity in the personal arena. He's a psychologist who's been practicing for 30 years, especially working with men on greater happiness and fulfillment. And he also started a men's group, you could say. It's called Men Mentoring Men. And for that has been going on for three decades as well and really helped a lot of men live more satisfying lives in that family, personal relationship sphere. So we met through his wife, who's also an author. I had written some previous books, and we knew each other through our publisher and realized we could combine our expertise and two heads would be better than one, you could say.
I see. So you got together and researched and wrote this book. What was the underlying thing that you wanted accomplished in the world by people reading your book?
I would say that to use your term, Reverend Henderson, the idea that we had a mission to say there's more to life for men. And that really there's an imperative, an urgent need for men to revise and take a careful look at how we've been taught to show up as men in our personal lives, in our work lives, and as members of society. As you mentioned at the opening, what we call confined masculinity is really outdated. It's not very healthy, and it can limit our ability to be effective and positive citizens, especially around issues of relationships with our spouses, with our children. What my co-author Ed found in the personal realm is that men were often finding themselves in very empty relationships, or where they were not feeling fulfilled, in part because they were told, you know, we're not supposed to be emotionally vulnerable. We're not supposed to be sharing our joys or our sorrows, sometimes even with our spouses. We're calling for at both the personal level and at work is to show that we can have a greater power, greater fulfillment if we can embrace compassion and connection. That is to say, feeling more empathy for those in our lives, and also realizing the importance of seeing ourselves as connected. We're so often told as men that we are islands unto ourselves, that we are self-made men. And that rugged individual spirit can go too far in America, such that we don't realize even the need to have very close friendships. So in a work setting, for example, if we are seeing ourselves as just about our own advancement, that's not really a successful strategy as companies become more about teams and about persuasion as opposed to kind of ordering people around. That's the way the workplace is changing, to be about more emotional intelligence, more collaboration, not just competitiveness where you're trying to rise above your peers. So in a nutshell, our mission is to show the liberating power of compassion and connection for men today.
Well, so Ed comes from the family point of view. You come from the business point of view, but your overall mm-hmm. Overall thing that you want to get out in this, that perhaps some change in conventional wisdom needs to happen. And what I'm thinking in my mind is you're advocating for men to think more like women.
In a way, yeah. That's not a bad paraphrasing, Reverend Henderson. You know, we see that there are masculine traits or energies that one can take or observe, sort of the idea of being assertive and a defender, a protector figure, the archetypes of the masculine, and that there are also archetypes or energies of the feminine, the idea of receptivity, of relational compassion, of being connected. And what we're calling for is men to not block out those things, because they're ultimately human qualities that we all have, both masculine and feminine energies to draw on, or archetypes to build on. And we have really kind of, over thousands of years, walled ourselves off from half of what, you know, the human potential is in some ways. And as I said, we see that this is, you know, when you look at the statistics of men, especially older men, they're growing more isolated and depressed, with health problems when they don't have relationships with others. In some ways, this, you know, the turn toward more social media, community gatherings like bowling leagues and that sort of thing, you know, it's hurting men as they go into that world. We go into this modern world without an appreciation of the need to forge those friendships. And, you know, if you look at the broader sphere of the world society, if we don't see our interconnectedness as a human race, we aren't going to be able to solve the emerging pressing problems of, say, climate change, of the need to handle the global pandemics that are currently in front of us and may emerge in the future in the best ways possible. So, yes, you could sum it up and say men need to think like women a bit more, just as we see women in the last several decades becoming more assertive and forthright and saying, you know, the Me Too movement saying, we're not going to be sexually harassed. We're not going to tolerate being put down and abused any longer by powerful men, typically. So, in a way, we're saying, let's all of us recognize all of our humanity, and we'll all thrive in that way.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have something in your book about the five C's.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. We identify five practices, you could say, that help men advance in their masculinity from or break out of that confined masculinity toward this liberating masculinity, which frees men to live fuller lives. The five C's are curiosity, courage, compassion, connection, and commitment. And to walk through them briefly, curiosity is simply saying, you know, we often been told as men, we're supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. We're supposed to know all the answers and not ask for directions, even to use a common joke that people talk about. Men never don't ask for directions. Well, there's a sad truth behind that joke, that the curiosity we all have as human beings, as boys, like, why is the sky blue? How do airplanes fly? That kind of gets beaten out of us by the time we're teenagers and young adults. And we're saying we need to embrace that, to ask questions, not only about masculinity itself, like, am I being limited by my beliefs and my assumptions about masculinity, but to ask questions in an ongoing way. In today's business world, we have to be constant learners. The new power is not to be a know-it-all, but to be a learn-it-all. That's what Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella says. And we agree that's what's needed in today's fast-paced business world. Then if we go to courage, this is building on men's courage that we know that's super impressive and important, the courage to put their bodies at risk to save other people, to run into the burning building. We're now talking about courage more expansively, to say, can you have the courage to explore your own emotions? Your emotions, say, of shame that you may have for not being as successful as you would like to be. Or perhaps guilt, or perhaps sadness or fear. There's a courage to address that, as well as to address some of the advantages we may have had in life. Say, with respect to men have often benefited to the disadvantage of women. And then we go to compassion and connection, which is really the heart of what we say is the new masculinity, that idea of not just showing our compassion by being providers and protectors for our family, but being explicit, being emotionally intelligent and expressive. Tell folks that we love them, our friends and our family members, and express a sense of empathy if those around us are hurting, and to try to address those difficulties. The connection piece we talked about already a little bit, realizing we need friendships. We need to have close connections. We need to see ourselves as interconnected to really thrive in our personal work and societal roles. And the last one is commitment, Reverend Henderson, which is to say, can you be dedicated to these other four practices and really move yourself along this journey toward a liberating masculinity that ultimately allows for a happier, more fulfilling, and powerful life?
Your book is entitled Reinventing Masculinity, The Liberating Power of Compassion and Connection. And that's to try to shift men's way of thinking from the confined masculinity, which has been going on forever, to something new. Is that correct?
That is virtually entirely correct. There's the one piece that I would correct there is that there were earlier stages of humanity that we often overlook. So it hasn't been going on forever. What we found, and we have a wonderful foreword by a compassion scholar named Paul Gilbert, who cites research that the 99% of a human history, or 95 to 99% of human existence was in forager, hunter-gatherer societies. And in those societies, the evidence suggests that men and women were much more equal in their relationships. There was a greater sense of egalitarian relationship among all members of society, that men also were in a place of gratitude was another common feature for men and women. And there was also a great amount of autonomy, such that no one was telling other people what to do. It is only, and according to some of this research, that when we developed agriculture and civilization, did some of the more dominant individualistic and kind of materialistic values we sometimes associate with masculinity emerge. So when we say reinventing masculinity, in some ways we're saying this is not totally new. And these positive qualities have been around even in the civilization eras for many, many centuries. If you look at the example of Jesus Christ, he embodied a lot of what we're calling for: deep compassion for the poor, for the marginal, and a sense of connectedness to his disciples, say. So we've had role models around, but we're saying let's take them more seriously and draw on our deep past as human beings to really create a masculinity for the 21st century.
So when you think about the total society and everything, the fact that this is good for business, it's also good for personal life, right?
We believe so.
And the basic things that you teach and talk about in your book would help all men at whatever they're doing in their life come to a better understanding of how they should show their masculinity. Is that right?
Yes, and we have some a wide range of examples in the book, Reverend Henderson, that show some of the patients that Ed Adams, my co-author, has worked with, who came to him in despair or feeling empty in their lives. Some of them had addiction problems. I know that's a topic you've addressed very thoroughly, whether to alcohol. Some of them had addictions. I don't know if this is an official addiction, but addiction to to having extramarital relations. And they often had not really taken a close look at some of the expectations they had as men that were really demoralizing and leading to a rather shallow sense of satisfaction in life. So we do talk about the personal sphere. We also share examples from some of the titans of industry, leaders of companies like Cisco, the technology company that is famous for helping set up the internet with its routers and switches. And their leader, Chuck Robbins, has made the company much more humane in a way by taking the idea of giving back and philanthropy central to Cisco. He had a dream of visiting a homeless encampment in San Jose, California, the heart of Silicon Valley. And homelessness is a big issue in that area. He saw the face of his father and his pastor in that homelessness camp in his dream. And the next morning, he decided, I've got to get involved in this. And he has encouraged his company to contribute millions of dollars and sparked a renaissance of charitable activities on the part of this powerful company. So lots of examples of men living better, happier, more fulfilling lives and more successful lives, thanks to a more developed, liberating masculinity.
Well, now, I'm looking at some of your media things, and I notice that your key messages are, and I'm going to read them and then let you pick the one that you'd like to talk about. The first,
okay.
Confined masculinity limits the ways men are permitted by society to interact in the world and the workplace. The second is, traditional male leadership tends to be me first, goal-oriented, and unwilling to listen. Next, millennials are resistant to this dictatorial style of leadership. And finally, soft skills such as compassion, cooperation, communication, empathy, and generosity are increasingly success skills and necessary in today's workplace. Now, we don't have time to talk about all, but pick the one that you like the best and talk about it.
Sure, I'll pick the last one, Reverend Henderson. It's one that's near and dear to my heart from my work at Great Place to Work, where we researched who were the most inclusive and successful leaders in a study of 10,000 leaders that we had data on through our research and employee surveys. and creating some of the best workplace lists, like the Fortune 100 best workplace list. And what we found is that these leaders are what we ended up calling for all leaders. They were leaders that created a great workplace experience for virtually everybody on their team. 90% or more of people had a great experience on their team, and these were leaders that therefore we also found that they had the greatest measures of productivity, of agility and innovation, and of people wanting to stay on those teams. So very powerful and effective leaders. What do they look like? Well, their characteristics were of people that were not the generals, the command and control leaders of yore, the Ed Asners of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you might say, of barking commands across the newsroom or the business. They were people that were humble. They were people that built bonds of trust with their teams and between their teams and beyond. They were people that were very purpose-driven, that helped people see the biggest picture and the sort of the pot at the end of the rainbow. Let's get to our not just the immediate revenue goals, but sort of what is the highest mission of our organization. And they were very good at listening to their people, listening to ideas and giving their people, the people on their teams, the opportunities to try new things. So this is the kind of soft skill oriented leader. A servant leader is another term that others use that is very similar, where people are moving away from that sense of I am the commander of this team to more I am the coach of the team. And I'm going to listen and guide folks along, but not be really the one who's dictating orders for how to get there. It's more like instead of giving directions, I will give direction, a general goal of where we're heading, and then we will work on it together. So that's one way that I think this new masculinity, this liberating masculinity, is showing up in most successful leaders and teams today. And it's really where men need to consider if they want to be successful in the workplace of tomorrow.
So, Ed, if as a result of what our listening audience has heard today, they think this is something I want to know more about, tell them how to get a copy of your book, Reinventing Masculinity.
Sure. They can go to our website at reinventingmasculinity.com. They can also search for the book on Amazon with that the title, Reinventing Masculinity. Put in our names if they want, Ed Fraunheim or Ed Adams. Those are some, you know, the easy place to go there. I can also mention I have a workshop coming up on men at work and incorporating many of these ideas from the book for men to have greater success and inclusion in today's emerging workplace. And that's a workshop that can be searched on the Eventbrite event platform. So again, it's called Men at Work, Straight Talk on Success and Inclusion.
Right.
So those are some of the ways they can learn more.
Okay. Well, it's definitely something that if some of the things that Ed's talked about today strikes your interest and you wanted to know more about it, you should pick up a copy of this book. It's a very good book, and I recommend it. Ed, we're coming to the end of the time for our show today. Is there anything else that you would like to say that I haven't given you an opportunity to say so far?
Yes, I would add that we have a chapter in our book on the soul of men. I know that you have an expertise and a deep interest in spirituality, Reverend Henderson, and I think one of the things that we are trying to do in the book, the chapter is actually called Honoring the Soul of Men. And I think that too often the expectations or the lessons that men get in modern society is be almost like a machine. You know, earn that money, you know, be a kind of a stern father, you know, protect for your and provide for your family. There's almost a message to not look too deeply into matters of the soul or of spirit. And we think that that's a missing piece to really a full human experience. And so I would say that part of this new liberating masculinity is the freedom to explore your soul and to really feel it and live it out to, in the best way possible.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for being on the program today, and we've learned a lot about masculinity, and if they want to drill down, they can get a copy of your book, and I recommend that they do that. So thanks for being on the program today, Ed, and wrapping up, I'll say that my mission or purpose in life is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. This is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you meet three simple criteria, everyone gets well. And I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is my podcast, which is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No caps and no spaces. And for a more detailed discussion of the treatment plan, go to www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And through those two free resources, you can drill down on addictions and basically make your life a lot happier. So, Ed, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you very much, Reverend Henderson.